sound, but she said, you know, moment of crisis, if nothing else, should really be the moment that anyone calls himself a leader, says they're going to put politics aside and put the people first. People are in desperate need of support right now and playing political games at this moment in these crisis situations. These are the height of emergency situations. It's just utterly irresponsible and it's selfish and it's about political gamemanship. What's your response?
Well, I think she should look in the mirror. We've been on an emergency footing for 2 weeks straight, round the clock, 24/7. We've been working, my office, our Division of Emergency Management, helping people prepare for Hurricane Helene, helping effectuate rescues of people after Hurricane Helene, helping people pick up the pieces of their lives after Helene, and then have to also turn around and prepare for major impacts and maybe even more impacts from Hurricane Milton, be able to have rescue personnel ready to help people, and then, of course, help with the power restoration, all these things to do. So that's been my sole focus. My focus has not been on dealing with Kamala Harris. I saw the news report. I didn't know she tried to contact me. But I'd also say it's not about you, Kamala. Right. It's about the people of Florida. My focus is exactly where it should be. And I can tell you this. I've worked on these hurricanes under both President Trump and President Biden. Neither of them ever tried to politicize it. She has never called ever on any of the storms we've had since she's been vice president until apparently now. Why all of a sudden is she trying to parachute in and inject herself when she's never shown any interest in the past? We know it's because of politics. We know it's because of her campaign. I have zero time to entertain these political games. We're going to continue to do what we need to do to prepare and respond to what may be one of the most damaging storms in the history of the United States. So she says focusing on protecting your people is selfish. I think she ought to look in the mirror.
Well, and that's the big soundbite right there. So that's the point right there, is that she had, I mean, how many, this is the first time that she has ever called in. Or demanded. I mean, I don't even know if she actually called him. He said, and I wrote about this on Substack. If you should, this is why you should be a subscriber, because if you're not, you didn't get any of this. You didn't know any of this. If she called him, who did she call? Because he said, well, she didn't call my office. I don't know who she called. He had already gotten a call from Joe Biden. By the way, Joe Biden had a press conference just a little bit earlier, and he was asked about this. So this is the second time that he said anything about this, because he tweeted about this earlier this morning. And I noted it over at on X. I noted it over on X. He had said something about it this morning and saying that he had already been in contact with the Florida governor and that they had everything that they needed. And I thought that was very interesting, because, I mean, he just sort of threw her under the bus right there. But Kamala Harris, she's the vice president. The vice president is not involved in this process. He had already spoken to the White House. He had already spoken to the president of the United States. Kamala Harris goes out there and demands to have a phone call with DeSantis for some reason, so she can say, she can pretend that she's an adjacent commander in chief. He's in the middle of prepping for the hurricane of a century. And this, the hurricane of a century, this thing is already a Cat 5. They say it's actually going to be bigger when it hits land, and it's expected to make land at some point tomorrow than it is right now. And he's also dealing with Helene recovery. She's stamping her feet and she's having a tantrum. She spent all day, her people spent all yesterday evening running to the press complaining about this, that over her failed campaign stunt. I can't imagine an optic any worse than what I just saw with Kamala Harris. Welcome to the program. Dana Loesch with you. Good to be with you. And this is one of our, I mean, the hurricane is really, this is the top story. But the crazy thing is that we're having to deal with Kamala Harris, the vice president of the United States and the Democrat presidential nominee, throwing a fit because the Florida governor took Biden's call and not hers. And this is on the heels of her disastrous 60 Minutes interview. There are more cuts coming out from that. If you thought that what we played for you yesterday was a one-off, Katie, bar the door, because it's not. And then Bill Whitaker's out there just murdering people. the Democrat ticket. I mean, it's unbelievable. We're going to get into all of that. So welcome, Channel 347 DirecTV, also X and Rumble, where the discussion happens. So this, I mean, it all happened yesterday. And I first noticed it. I started seeing these headlines. I was in my office and I'm doing prep and I'm looking and I'm seeing these headlines and I'm seeing that Kamala Harris, her campaign has been going and complaining to the press because they're unhappy with that DeSantis ignored her phone call. That's the way it was. Refuses to take call, refuses to answer. DeSantis ignores Harris. Now, the way that they made it sound is that Ron DeSantis is just politicizing this and he is ignoring an offer of help from the vice president of the United States. But that's not the case at all, as you heard from the soundbite that we played. Furthermore, it wasn't just as Harris started having her people go out and whine to the press about it. Then she also said something about it as well. She was, this is audio soundbite 6. She was asked about this because she's been jetting around doing her media blitz, which that's a whole other subject we have to discuss. But this is audio soundbite 6. And the media is more than happy to go along with it. Listen.
Governor DeSantis, NBC is reporting Governor DeSantis is ignoring your calls on hurricanes, resources, and help. How does that hurt the situation here?
You know, moments of crisis, if nothing else, should really be the moment that anyone who calls themselves a leader says they're going to put politics aside and put the people first. People are in desperate need of support right now. And playing political games at this moment in these crisis situations, these are the height of the emergency situations. It's just utterly irresponsible and it is selfish. And it is about political gamesmanship instead of doing the job that you took an oath to do, which is to put the people first.
This is absolutely appalling that she's doing this, this optic. Vice presidents have never had a role in this process. And again, Biden has already talked with DeSantis. Both of them confirmed it. Biden tweeted, let me pull this up because this is just on my timeline. Biden tweeted just a little earlier, quote, tonight, he spoke with me yesterday. Tonight, I spoke with Florida Governor DeSantis and Tampa Mayor Castor for first-hand reports on Hurricane Helene recovery and preparation for Milton. My administration is ready to support both leaders and the people of Florida with any further resources they need. He went further with that, saying that he also spoke with National Weather Service, etc. If we have this audio, because this was just a little bit ago, he gave a press conference just a little bit, and he was asked about whether or not he'd been in touch with the Florida governor. And he reiterated in his press conference just a little bit earlier that he had been in contact with the Florida governor, kind of repeated what he said yesterday. If we have that, let me know. Kind of repeated what he had said yesterday evening about it. And this was the press conference that he had. He was in his, you know, big O situation room. And he, this is, I think, some of it. Listen.
Those who do it to try to damage.
That's not the administration. That's not the cut. So what? That's not the cut. So so he had said he had spoken with Florida Governor DeSantis, and then he was asked something separate about North Carolina, which is what he was responding to. So we've got, you know, the president of the United States who's saying that he's, you know, in touch with the Florida governor. The vice president has never had a role in this, even with Trump. Pence didn't even have a role with this. Cheney didn't have a role with this. Biden, when he was vice president, didn't have a role with this. It's something that the president of the United States, I mean, I can't even believe we have to sit here and explain this to these media people. He's in the middle of prepping for a damn Cat 5 hurricane after going through recovery efforts for Hurricane Helene. All right. Big issue. And so she decides she needs some of that shine. How can she not get cut out 4 weeks before the election and still maintain this position, excuse me, of like authority or power, still maintain this somehow? How can she do that? Well, she's going to insert herself into this whole process. And that's exactly what she's done. And so now she comes out and says that, well, you know, he's ignoring me. And did you hear how she sounded like she was having a tantrum on the tarmac when she was talking to the press? She sounded like she was having a tantrum, like, how dare he ignore me? She didn't say anything about, you know what, he's doing the best he can, or that he's, you know, he's in the middle of, you know, hurricane prep. She could have taken, if she was a gracious person, she would have taken the question from that journalist, because that was a setup, by the way. She would have taken that question from that friendly journalist slash activist and would have said, you know, Florida is preparing for Category 5 We are here to assist. She could have taken the position of power by appearing generous and accommodating, and instead she decided to do this, diminish herself and throw a tantrum on the tarmac while insisting that she needs to be catered to, because she needs to be able to issue something within her campaign that she's a part of this whole process and that she's there to help. I've never seen a woman who is more unfit to be a leader in my ever-loving life than Kamala Harris. She has no political radar, no political acumen. She can't think quick on her feet. It's embarrassing as a woman that this is what women have to offer for the ticket to run for the White House. It's embarrassing. I mean, don't sit here and talk about how you're an empowered woman when you devolve into a MITOL fit on the tarmac of an airport. We got more on this, but this pisses me off. I've got a lot of friends and family. We have tons of listeners in Florida that are bracing for the worst right now. And her first reaction, I kid you not, this is not hyperbole. Her first reaction wasn't, how can she help those people? It was to bash DeSantis for doing the job that she can't do. Unreal. Now, if you thought that was bad, this comes on the heels of her disastrous 60 Minutes interview. Oh, the cuts keep coming. And it wasn't just her. It was also Tim Walz. Wait until you hear Bill Whitaker take them to the woodshed again, because these cuts just keep on coming. So Kamala Harris, you know, I guess this is part of her amp up. She's doing this crazy, it looks desperate and it looks last minute and contrived and sloppy, because now she's doing Howard Stern. All the Zoomers just discovered that boomer, by the way, because they realized he did a whole skit with Ted Danson and blackface. And now they're all freaking out about it, you know. So then after she did that Daddy Issues podcast, now she's doing Stern. She's going on Colbert. She was on The View today, that she taped for The View today. So she's doing all these hits. She's doing a media blitz. And then a Cat 5 is barreling towards Florida. The optics of this, it is one of the worst run campaigns I've ever seen. I'm saying this compared to Hillary Clinton, too. Can't even believe I've ever would find anybody to say that about, but there we are. So we got a lot of stuff to hit today, because we're going to get into that. We've got all the latest with the hurricane as well. We got a lot of election. I mean, everything is going to be a lot of hurricane, and then also a tale of two responses with private and public, private and government response. So we're going to get into all of that. Oh, and Kamala says she owns a Glock. No one believes her. Yeah, we'll get to that too. They're always ready over at ReadyWise. No matter if you're preparing with emergency survival food, whether it's weather, political, whatever it is, it's crucial that your supplies endure for as long as you need them without compromising flavor. And this is where ReadyWise comes in. You can stock up on premium survival food and be set for whatever comes your way. Visit ReadyWise.com and use promo code Dana20 at checkout for 20% off of any regularly priced item. They have free and fast shipping on most orders, ensuring that your provisions reach you promptly. 72-hour food kit, buy one, get one, $100 value for $50. That includes two boxes, 12 pouches of premium survival food, breakfast, drinks, the whole nine yards. And you know the chain of command for all your food. U.S. ingredients, you're supporting U.S. agriculture. U.S. plant, it ships out from that U.S. plant. You're supporting U.S. jobs. So you know the chain of command for your food at every step of the way. You're getting the best taste, comfort in a crisis, 25-year shelf life. So make sure that you stock up and be ready with ReadyWise. Visit ReadyWise.com and use promo code Dana20 at checkout for 20% off any regularly priced item. That's ReadyWise.com, promo code Dana20 for 20% off.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So GEICO is terminating insurance coverage of Tesla Cybertrucks, saying that this type of vehicle doesn't meet our underwriting guidelines. I just don't ever, people use GEICO. Do they?
I do.
You do use GEICO? Do you like GEICO? I was going to make fun of them.
Make fun of them. Who cares?
I want lizard insurance. It's for lizard people. Isn't that for lizard people? Are you and them lizard people? Why don't they? So they said, no, they just at the Cybertruck, they said that they can't insure it because they think it's risky. I mean, there are riskier cars out there, but go ahead and be,
Risky or expensive? Actually, I think it's expensive.
Look, I'm going to tell y'all something. So you guys know I've been dealing with laryngitis. I'm not sick, and I've been on a massive amount of steroids. It's probably why I seem like I want to cut people more often than not this week. I'm coming down off of them, but today is not the day to be messing, okay? Not the day. There could be a jet lag cure on the horizon. This sounds gross. I don't know what this means. A tiny protein tail? Ugh. They said that it's a small section at the end of a protein. It could just eat protein tails, right? Powdered protein tails. There you go. It's the casein kinase 1 delta. Oh, that makes total sense. It's a pacemaker for our biological clock. Blah, blah, blah. Just take a red eye and sleep. There you go. Problem solved. Anyway, they think that there could be a cure for it. Don't expect human life expectancy to grow much more, thankfully, says a researcher over at the Associated Press. Humanity is hitting the upper limit of life expectancy, according to a new study. A lot of people aren't making it to age 100 anymore because the Earth hates them. They said we have to recognize there's a limit and perhaps reassess assumptions about when people should retire and about how much money they'll need to live out their lives, says Cynthia, a University of Illinois Chicago researcher. Actually, his name's James Olshanky. He was the lead author of the study. You know what? I enjoy working. I can't stand sitting. But that's like a whole other topic. But, you know, just let, I don't know. I don't think that people need to be living to 200 because, you know, at some point, you know, your people are tired of you. Go away. But, you know. Also, there's now fears of a global oil shock if the Mideast crisis intensifies. So glad that we didn't build any refineries and we didn't do anything to boost up our own potential under the Biden-Harris administration. That was some great foresight. The world absorbing the prospect of escalating conflict in the Middle East, the fallout is sowing increasing alarm. Now, I mean, this is today and obvious, this headline that could be summed it up like that. A doctor admits disguising himself as a nurse to try to kill his mother's partner with poison. This is going to be a definite interesting, like, true crime doc. A British doctor admitted that he tried to kill his mom's long-term partner, who stood between him and an inheritance. He was trying to inject the man, Kane, with a poison disguised as the COVID vaccine. Prosecutors say Thomas Kwan pretended to be a community nurse delivering booster shots and injected Patrick O'Hara with a toxic substance, likely pesticide. It caused a rare and life-threatening flesh-eating disease. He initially denied attempted murder but changed his plea after prosecutors laid out their case and proved unequivocally that he was da baddie. We've got a lot more on the way, including the attempts to politicize a hurricane. And North Carolina and Florida, the difference in response. And David Axelrod knows it. Stick with us. As we move our partners over at Patriot Mobile, the only Christian conservative cell phone service that's out there, they want to save you money. And they also want to make sure that your money, your hard-earned dollars that you use to pay for your phone bill, isn't going to compromise the things that you vote for. It's not going to erode your Second Amendment rights. It's not going to go and help the radicals take over your school board and teach your kids age inappropriate things about sexual relations or anything else that's way above their educational and emotional status. They want to make sure that, you know, your money, I mean, they realize how hard you work for it. You get great cell phone service without it going to all this other unnecessary Marxist stuff. They offer reliable nationwide coverage in all three major networks. You're getting the best service without funding the left. And keep your phone, keep your number, upgrade. The choice is yours. They have plans tailor-made for everybody, families, businesses of all sizes. Doesn't matter. They got you covered. And they also urge you to vote early in your state, if possible. Early voting's already started in a number of states. You got to go out and vote. It's crucial. Visit patriotmobile.com/Dana. Call 972-PATRIOT. Get a free month of service when you use offer code Dana, as well as free activation. That's patriotmobile.com/Dana, 972-PATRIOT, for your free month of service today.
If you haven't learned your lesson yet, never rely on the federal government. After another FEMA fallout, while Mayorkas shopped at designer stores, at some point we need to eliminate it and outsource it to the private sector while using the military like we did for Katrina.
Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
Make some common sense of the crazy headlines with the Dana Show podcast, your on-the-go guide for getting up to speed on today's most important stories. Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or your favorite podcast platform.
Well, now, there's a hair-raising, eyebrow-raising news story that just hit. I mean, it is October. Welcome back, Dana Lash, with you. It is October. Would you guys like to hear about it? It's about wife guy's second dude. Doug Emhoff. He's really leaning into this whole, no, I'm just the husband of the vice president. She's the more, I think he's doing that as like a veneer to hide like his past indiscretions because, ooh, here's a headline. Quote, Doug Emhoff was a foul-mouthed A**hole. And misogynist who hired a trophy secretary because she was pretty and retaliated against women who didn't flirt back at LA law firm, ex-staff, plural, claim. Oh, believe all women, right? Isn't that where we're at now? Me too. Attorneys who worked with Doug Emhoff at his former firm Venable say he yelled expletives, held a men-only cocktail hour in the office, revoked work perks from women who didn't flirt with him, and only took young, attractive associates in a limousine to a ball. I thought this was America. The lawsuit also claims sex discrimination by other partners that he ran while he was engaged to Harris. And he hired an unqualified part-time model as a legal secretary because she was friendly with the powerful men in the office, is the claim. He looks like the guy who does that. He's trying to have like his Taiki Waititi moment, and he's just not happening. He looks like the guy who would do something like that, doesn't he? Can I just say, sidebar, this is why I don't understand, like, sugar babies. The look's got to play into it. You know, money can't make that visage more attractive. I just could not. There's no way on God's green earth. There's just no way. What woman, you're going to hire a model to be a legal secretary because she's pretty and she flirts with the ugly, powerful men in the office? I mean, they're still ugly, right? Looks is power. They're still ugly. I look at him and I'm like, that's not a, ew. Just, right? I don't know. Maybe I'm the only, I don't know. I just, no, money cannot buy everything. So he's, now he acts like he's this feminist ally and a wife guy. Have you noticed that all the dudes who say that they're feminists are typically like abusive jack wagons? Have you noticed this? That all comes out. Like they all get milkshake ducked by like past posts. Do you guys know that term? I think I explained it in one of my books. It was a joke that somebody made. Oh, here's a little duck that loves drinking milkshakes. 5 seconds later, we regret to inform you that the duck is racist. So it's a milkshake duck. Like you find something in their past that you thought they were nice and you thought they were cute. It's like I'm waiting for Moo Dang to get milkshake ducked. The little pygmy hippo in Thailand, which I watch all the time, and that's all any of the algorithms show me is Moo Dang stuff. It's okay. But he looks like the guy who's, doesn't he? He has that smarmy look. Okay, another sidebar. Women, you know when you look at a chick if she's crazy. Women have a radar. Dudes, do you have a radar that is equal to that of a woman looking at a chick and saying, that woman's crazy, warning? Dudes, can you do the same thing by looking at another dude and be like, he's nuts, warning? Do you have that superpower, Kane?
Well, yeah, you can see it in women. I don't know how
but
women
in dudes,
see
can
it
you look
men?
At another dude yeah. and be like Doug Emhoff and be like, yeah, he looks like
oh, can
like
a guy spout
yeah, can
spot
you
that?
See it yes. in another guy? Yeah. Steve, can you see it in another guy?
I mean, men are better gaslighters, I think, so probably not. They kind of hide it.
Interesting.
No, you can kind of tell.
Depends.
There's posturing, there's eye contact, there's breathing, all of that stuff, that body language. It's subtle, but you can tell.
Don't you think that in his interviews, Doug Emhoff tries to act like he's, again, he's like, well, I'm a wife guy. I'm just a wife guy. Right? Yeah. I mean, this is a guy who, he cheated on his first wife, impregnated his nanny. And now we've got these accusations. And it just, he slapped that girl in the line at the valet at Cannes Film Festival, which is like the bougiest thing I've ever heard. So I don't know. I mean, all of the false accusations that had no evidence against Kavanaugh were enough to almost like derail his Supreme Court advances. And Kamala Harris led that. So what about this? I just feel... Yes, I do completely believe in James, the ideology of James Brown in the big payback. Yes, I absolutely do. You are 1,000% correct. So I'm just saying, you know, it just seems like, you know, what's good for the goose is good for the gander here, Kamala. Just saying. But I don't know if, I mean, she's dealing with some bad stuff right now. Can we talk about the 60 Minutes interview? It's bad. It's so bad. They asked her if she owned a gun. And it was weird. They asked her if she owned a gun. And, well, this is what she says. This is audio soundbite 7. Listen to this.
A hard left turn here. But you recently surprised people when you said that you are a gun owner. And then if someone came into your
that
house...
That was not the first time I've talked about it. That's not the first time I've talked about it.
So what kind of gun do you own, and when and why did you get it?
I have a Glock, and I've had it for quite some time. And, I mean, look, Bill, my background is in law enforcement.
Which means nothing.
And so there you go.
Have you ever fired it?
Yes. Of course I have. At a shooting range.
So he does. I was watching this interview. Bill Whitaker's interview style is interesting. I'm giving him credit. This is what it looks like when you do your job. He asks a question and then he just lets it sit and he doesn't do anything else. He lets it sit. And then the silence makes her nervous and she freaks out and she's got to fill the time with words. That's a great, like, it's an actual technique. And he does it very well. And he looks down at his notes and then looks back up and smiles. He disengages eye contact to leave her hanging for a moment. It is the art of bodily persuasion. And then he looks up at her and she's already freaking out because he disengaged to look at his notes. And then he just purses his lips and kind of smiles at her. Very disingenuous. It's a process smile. It's not like a real smile of, you know, empathetic or emphatic feeling. It is a very interesting interview. And they're totally going to go after this guy. But because I don't think he's on the right. I think he dislikes her. I think he's just done with it. Let's, you know, ask some questions. But she's like, well, you know, I was in law enforcement. Like, what, you were storming houses? The hell does that mean? No one believes that Kamala Harris was out there. Yes, I was in law enforcement. So of course I have a gun. I was out there storming houses and arresting baddies. That's what I was doing. No one believes that. I mean, in that event, I'd be like, well, it'd be a SIG, wouldn't it? Anyway, but she's like, I have a Glock. If Bill Whitaker would have said, what generation? She would have crumpled in on herself and fallen off the chair. Really, what gen? A Glock? Mm-hmm. What? So what generation, though? And just check your notes and look up. And then when he goes, have you fired it? And then he just looked at her and would not help her out. And she was incredulous. And then she's like, yeah, I fired it. At a range. Had to fill the space. She would have kept going. I think she would have kept going if he wouldn't have asked her another question. So awkward. No one believes that she's got a gun. I think that she came up with that because she partners with a gun control group that's actually suing Glock. And I think that that was like the first thing that popped into her head. And that's why she said it. Yes, I have a Glock. No, you don't. No one believes that you have a Glock. Literally nobody. Just nobody. Man, these are so bad. I don't even know what one I want to go to next. It's so bad. Tim Walz didn't do any better. He didn't really do any better. Audio soundbite 18. I mean, this Bill Whitaker just took both of these stooges to the woodshed. This is so bad.
In your debate with J.D. Vance, you said, I'm a knucklehead at times. And I think you were referring to the time that you said that you were in Hong Kong during the Tiananmen Square unrest when you were not.
Yeah.
Is that kind of misrepresentation, isn't that more than just being a knucklehead?
I think folks know who I am, and I think they know the difference between someone expressing emotion, telling a story, getting a date wrong rather than a pathological liar like Donald Trump.
But I think it comes down to the question of whether you can be trusted to tell the truth.
Yeah, well, I can. I think I can. I will own up to being a knucklehead at times, but the folks closest to me know that I keep my word.
But nobody else does, because you don't. I mean, Whitaker was not letting him go one bit. Was not letting him go. Gosh, it was really satisfying to watch. I think I'm just going to keep playing these for the rest until Election Day. These clips, it was bad. It was bad. And it just was so bad. It was so bad. And he sat down separately, Walz and Harris. The cuts keep coming. And in the meantime, audio soundbite 12, she can't explain her way out of anything. Whitaker goes, well, groceries are more expensive and everyone blames you. What do you say?
Groceries are 25% higher. And people are blaming you and Joe Biden for that. Are they wrong?
We now have historic low unemployment in America among all groups of people. We now have an economy that is thriving by all macroeconomic measures. And to your point, prices are still too high. And I know that, and we need to deal with it, which is why part of my plan, you mentioned groceries, part of my plan is what we must do to bring down the price of groceries.
Yeah. Well, how are you going to bring down the price of groceries? I mean, why can't you do it now? Because you're there. It's almost like, I mean, she sits here and she says, well, we're going to do this and we're going to do that. Why aren't you doing it now? You're the vice president of the United States. The hyphen counts. You're there now. Why don't you? It was bad. So she's going off of the tantrum about the hurricane. That's what she used to follow up her 60 Minutes interview, and the cuts are still coming. And then the 60 Minutes interview followed that Daddy Issues podcast. That was bad. And then now she's apparently going on with Stern. Has her stuff from The View even hit yet? Because she taped The View. Has that even hit yet?
Oh, yeah.
Did it hit?
Yeah.
I literally never watch those cronies. I just don't. Oh, there it is. Thank you. Thank you, Steve. I didn't watch it because Steve, we can count on Steve doing it. Steve getting it. So this, oh boy, audio soundbite 27. You heard that answer she just gave on groceries and all that. Remember who's in the White House, right? Remember who's in Biden-Harris. Okay, now play audio soundbite 27. This is so bad.
Well, if anything, would you have done something differently than President Biden during the past 4 years?
There is not a thing that comes to mind in terms of, and I've been a part of most of the decisions that have had impact.
So nothing. Oh, well, that's comforting. So forward the same? I wouldn't change anything. Forward. That's what I would have asked. So forward then.
Nothing comes to mind.
Yeah, nothing comes to mind. I still know. Don't know what I do different. Merk, 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 knucklehead. We've got a lot more on the way. We're watching everything with the hurricane, Hurricane Milton, which is expected to make landfall tomorrow. Florida is prepping for that. We have a lot of friends, a lot of family, and a lot of listeners in Florida. So we're keeping an eye on all of that. Of course, you know, they've got local weather and all of that down there as well. But man, everybody stay safe and please don't forget your pets. We're going to get into all of that. We got some election. We got some culture, all kinds of stuff on the way still. Black Rifle Coffee. That is our sponsor. And we're grateful for Black Rifle Coffee because they completely keep me awake. They wake me up. They get me through my day. I have a delicious cup, at least and cup, of Black Rifle Coffee every single day. They got their complete Mission Fuel Kit variety sampler right now. Save 20% with code Dana. You get 4 ounce bags of all my favorites, AK-47 Espresso, Beyond Black, Just Black, Silencer Smooth. They're awesome. And it comes in ground texture, but you can get each of these roasts in whole bean K-cup ready to drink, where you can also find apparel, kettles, grinders, mugs, and more all on their website. It's premium coffee for people who love America, veteran-owned and veteran-run as well, and they also hire active duty. These are just the best coffees that you can get. Join the coffee club, pick your favorite roast, frequency of shipment, and it arrives for free as a member of the coffee club. Free shipping on your doorstep, free shipping right to your doorstep, never run out. So make sure you check out that complete Mission Fuel Kit variety sampler only at blackriflecoffee.com. Order it today, get 20% off with code Dana. 20% off, code Dana at blackriflecoffee.com.
Get the lowdown on the latest news with a side of laughs whenever you want. Subscribe to the Dana Show podcast on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
Guns don't protect our free speech. Our free speech is protected by the consent of the governed laid out through the Constitution. It's not based on the threat of violence. It's based on elections, organizing, referendums, a judicial system. Our social contract offers many, many avenues to remedy these issues and allows sides to be heard and adjudicated. Guns, from what I can tell, seem to mostly protect the speech of the people holding the gun. It's a tool of intimidation.
He doesn't understand the difference between an enumerated right and a social contract. Really? A social compact and an enumerated right are two entirely different things. I mean, I get that, like, some people hear these phrases and these words and they think that they can use them interchangeably and that somehow makes them sound somewhat educated, but that's not what either of those, they're not interchangeable. And furthermore, if you only view firearms through the perspective of being scared of them because you have zero familiarity, then you are going to have a bias against them and you're only going to see them in one way. And to eliminate every other perspective because you think that your fear and your inexperience is supreme, well, that's un-American. And it's also dumb. And it's just not even intellectually honest. And it's incredibly illiberal. Why would you do that? So I think he's like trying to sound smart here with his commentary on that, but it's just not flying. It's not flying at all. The left is, they're apoplectic right now. I saw this headline where it said Democrats are freaking out because Kamala's joy is quietly turning to panic. Her Live, Laugh, Love campaign has had a bit of a stumble. It's got a bit of a, it has a bit of a trip, Kane. It's not doing so well.
Sorry to hear that.
I know. Yeah, it's not doing very well. And there, I mean, I keep seeing all these people trying to defend her. Like, oh, well, you know, how dare you? Like, they're mad at me because I'm asking. I was like, if they would have asked her what generation of Glock she had, she would have not been able to answer. And, they're like, well, have you prosecuted criminals, Gina? Okay, boomer. What does that have to do with knowing what kind of gun you have? You don't have, someone's like, you know, you don't have to be an enthusiast. Relax. You don't have to be an enthusiast to understand what you own. I mean, just like you don't have to be an enthusiast of automobiles to understand what car it is that you drive. You don't have to be an enthusiast of kitchen appliances to understand what brand your dishwasher is or your stove. You just have to be aware and educated. You know, it's not as simple as going in, I'll just have the Glock. It's not like vanilla ice cream, you know. I mean, there are different models. There's different types. There's, you know, for a reason. Yeah. I'll have the Glock, please. What kind? The black Glock. I will have that. Thank you. With some of the bullets. Merci. That's Kamala Harris. I mean, I don't know. I feel like I want to make fun of that some more. And I'm going to. But the left needs to stop. Now, we've got coming up. We got some election stuff. Polls are... Again, they're not... It's not like as ironclad as scripture. So polls are just suggestions and some guidelines and some ideas. Speculative, right? We're going to get into some of that. We got culture. We got all kinds of stuff. Stick with us. Second hour on the way. Our partners that help bring you free radio over at Hillsdale College. Hillsdale understands the importance of education to preserving freedom. That's why they were established in 1844, a small Christian classical liberal arts college in southern Michigan. And they're about educational evangelism because people, to preserve the republic, you have to understand your rights and you have to understand the principles of what our republic was founded upon. And this is what they aim to do at Hillsdale. So they have all kinds of free resources, whether it's their Free Speech Digest and Primus, whether it's their educational podcasts, or their free pocket constitutions that they're distributing to everyone. Again, for free, you pay nothing. They don't sell your information either when you give them your address. They just want to make sure that you get a copy of a pocket constitution. And if you have one already, maybe get one for someone who you know does not. Their goal is to distribute them to 1 million Americans who don't already have one. So get your free copy of your pocket constitution today by going to Dana4Hillsdale.com. Fill out that form. They're going to mail it to you with free shipping. You pay nothing. This offer is not going to last long. Grab your pocket constitution today at Dana4Hillsdale.com. Welcome back to the program. Top of the second hour. Dana Lash here with you. You can listen coast to coast, channel 347, DirecTV, as well as Rumble, where the discussion happens. X, all kinds of good stuff. And this lot of good things, a lot of very interesting things to discuss. So I'm just wondering where the president actually had a press conference today. We've been dealing with the response to Hurricane Helene and then the preparation for Hurricane Milton, and Florida is getting ready to get just hit hard. So I hope everyone's staying safe. We're praying for everybody there. We got a lot of friends and family there, a lot of listeners there. Please don't forget your pets. And if they tell you to evac, maybe consider evacing. I know everybody, I know you Floridians are hardcore. Like, y'all, I know y'all. Y'all make gator jerky. I ain't even messing. I'm just saying, you know, maybe with the storm surges being anticipated at 20 feet, just stay safe. So there was a bit of a hubbub last night because DeSantis had spoken to President Biden. And I noticed that this came after Biden reportedly had spoken to DeSantis, and they both confirmed that they had the conversation. Harris had her people go to all of these press outlets and say that DeSantis ignored my call. He refused my call. Well, DeSantis was like, she never called. Or, I mean, she called somebody's office. Sure, it wasn't mine. And he had already talked to Biden. Biden tweeted out, yeah, I had a great call with DeSantis. You know, he assured, you know, they're getting everything they need. We're here to help, etc. And then he said this just a little bit ago. Listen, this is audio 731.
The governor of Florida has been cooperative. He said he's gotten all that he needs. I talked to him again yesterday. And I said, whatever. I said, no, you're doing a great job. It's being all being done well. We thank you for it. And I literally gave my personal phone number to call. So I don't know. There was a rough start in some places, but every governor from Florida to North Carolina, has been fully cooperative and supportive and acknowledged what this team is doing. And they're doing an incredible job. But we got a lot more to do.
You know what it sounded like to me just then? Because Harris has spent, oh, I mean, I'm just going through. I'm actually right now scrolling through all of my, all of the headlines that I've saved. She had her people go to at least like 16 or 17 different outlets. Okay, well, maybe that's a double count here. This is a, but at least 15. Whining that he, that DeSantis ignored, refused, blew off, etc. Any of this. All of her outreach. And I'm trying to figure out where the vice president has ever historically figured into standard operating procedure in an emergency response. I mean, it's rhetorical. The answer, it's never. But she absolutely tried to make this a political stunt when it wasn't needed. If she was a smart candidate, she wouldn't have done it, first off. But she's not smart, so she did it. If she was somewhat smart, she would have found a way to salvage it. So when she was asked on the tarmac, you know, about DeSantis and did he ignore your call, she could have said, well, Governor DeSantis is preparing for a major Category 5 hurricane right on the heels of Hurricane Helene. He's got a lot on his plate. He's doing everything he can to steal his state. And we in the Biden-Harris administration are here to make sure that, you know, that Floridians get everything that they need. That would have been the smart answer for her to do. Because she would have seemed generous. She would have seemed, not that she was trying to politicize. I mean, that's like your basic answer, right? How hard is it to just do that? Right? Super simple. Not what she did, though. Audio soundbite 6. She did this instead.
President, Governor DeSantis, NBC is reporting Governor DeSantis is ignoring your calls on hurricanes, resources, and help. Okay, how does that hurt the situation here?
You know, moments of crisis, if nothing else, should really be the moment that anyone who calls themselves a leader says they're going to put politics aside and put the people first. People are in desperate need of support right now, and playing political games at this moment in these crisis situations, these are the height of emergency situations, is just utterly irresponsible, and it is selfish, and it is about political gamesmanship instead of doing the job that you took an oath to do, which is to put the people first.
Why that response? She was like petty and mean, completely unnecessary. She's not the president of the United States. There was no reason for her to be involved in any of it. She decided to insert herself. And then, of course, you know, that was one of the friendlies in the press that they had that came forward. And again, all she had to do was say, you know, Governor DeSantis is just, you know, he's doing everything that he can in order to prepare his state for this Category 5. It's going to make a landfall near Tampa on Wednesday. And she's like, we know that there's storm. You know, he's doing everything he can. He's got, we here in the Biden-Harris administration are, and she could have inserted herself in that way. We here in the Biden, and we in the administration are here to make sure Floridians get everything that they need, et cetera, et cetera. That's all, that's what they could have done, right? And instead she did that. That is really bad political stunting. It's bad acumen to not be able to read the room. I made mention on this. I was on Fox Business last night and I talked about this. And I think let me pull this up because I also have this. I noted this piece. I think it was in your prep. The comment that David Axelrod had made. And I thought it was incredibly, I can't believe I'm saying it. It was insightful. I don't always say that about some of the pundits on the left, but it was somewhat insightful because he was discussing how Democrats can mess this stuff up. And that's, you have to realize this is how Democrats look at emergencies. They look at emergencies in this regard. They look at it like, well, you know, how can we exploit this for, I mean, I'm not saying that. That was, who was it that said that? Not Eric Holder. Somebody, it was one of Obama's folks that said that. And so he had made the point that, you know, the folks that are in North Carolina, he's talking about Hurricane Helene recovery. He's like, the folks that are in that area of recovery for Hurricane Helene, you know, that are going to vote for Democrats, they're going to continue voting for Democrats. And there's, you know, not going to be that much that anybody can do. But he said, you know, there are going to be those people. I'm going to pull this up. There are going to be those people that are, you know, voting for Trump, and this is going to steal that. He said that upscale North Carolina Harris voters will find a way to vote after the storm. And he's already been blasted because he said that, you know, he's already getting a lot of heat for this because he was saying that it's could hurt voter turnout. And he also added that it's not going to be easy to wrangle Trump voters following Hurricane Helene. Now, I know that everybody be outraged about, you know, what he's being very clinical here. And North Carolina it's a swing state. It's a battleground state. It's a state that both Democrats and Republicans really need to win. And this is one of the reasons why the Democrat governor there, his hurricane response is absent and was a mess, and why it's so important. And I also think, too, it's one of the reasons you're not seeing a lot of press on the ground in North Carolina. And we're going to talk about that in a moment. North Carolina, Trump is barely in the lead in North Carolina. It's very close. They've been leaning Republican. They elected a Democrat governor, but they lean kind of Republican. You have less than a month away. State's voter registration deadline is October 11th. And Axelrod, these killer storms, there's a lot of displacement. And he was talking about these voters. He said, you know, liberal voters are going to figure out a way to vote. I'm not sure about, you know, the others. And he said, you know, it's going to be hard to wrangle Trump voters. So he's talking about access to vote, but he's also discussing, and he didn't dive into it, and this is what Democrats and I think some Republicans are missing. You have, in real life, playing out before you, a tale of two ideologies. Look at North Carolina. You have the Democrats who insist that the government is the only way to help, that the government can help you, the government will be able to save you, the government is going to be there if there is a storm, if there is an emergency, whatever it is, the government is going to be there to assist you. That's what we hear time and time again. And in Florida, you have the government is the federal government was impeding disaster response. FEMA was locking up landfills to the point where DeSantis literally threatened every agency. He went down there to one of the counties where they did this and literally ripped open the fences so that people could continue to remove debris. Tons of debris have already been removed. And this is just from Helene, not even getting into Milton yet. And he came out with a thing yesterday. He got hit by the Orlando Sentinel yesterday because he came out with another affirmation, even though you can't, under the color of federal law, ban carry or possession, you know, purchase, et cetera, of firearms in a disaster. They said it was mistaken, but I think it was like Okeechobee where they tried that. The sheriff tried that. And DeSantis's administration was told and they immediately intervened. And even though it's a right, they're doubly reaffirming it and letting everyone know in a time when people need to be their own first responders, you're not going to deny someone their Second Amendment right of self-defense. So they did that again. They've been getting things rerouted, getting things ready ahead of this Category 5 storm. And they've been working with a lot of, you know, you have a lot of private partnerships, and that's one of the things that Florida is really, really big on. They've developed in their state, they actually have a portal to where the state government works with private religious and non-religious alike, private organizations, and they find a need and they fill a need, and it's at less of a burden on the taxpayer, and it's these people that are volunteering and going out there and helping their fellow man. It's pretty unusual to see it happening, to see that. And that was something that's been implemented in the past couple of years in the state of Florida. And it was spearheaded by the First Lady. So First Lady of Florida. And so that you have this private partnership with these private organizations and private, you know, regular average everyday citizens responding. When you compare that to what you see in North Carolina, and then when you see in North Carolina, it's not the government that's getting in there to help, it's private entities. Like I said, you are seeing a tale of two ideologies play out in real time. And that's what Axelrod is kind of intimating. He's sitting here saying, look, they're going to see this. And people are seeing the disastrous response, FEMA's response here in North Carolina and elsewhere. It's pretty bad. You know, you're going to see this play out. And people are going to vote if you think that there aren't any independents in North Carolina whose minds have been irrevocably changed going into November because of the way FEMA's responded, you're mistaken. And that's why Democrats are trying so hard to, I think, get ahead. And they were trying to politicize this a little bit, too. We're going to talk about that. We're also going to talk about the Governor Roy Cooper. He is claiming that it's misinformation to say what people are saying about the state. But it's not misinformation. I mean, this information is coming from the videos and the mouths of the people who live there and who are enduring it. And have you noticed there's not really a lot of media on the ground in North Carolina? Not the way that they sent people to Katrina or Ian or Adelia or anywhere else. Have you noticed that? There's not a lot of media on the ground. Have you seen anybody at CNN and waiters standing out there in waist-deep water? I wonder why. Is it because they don't want to tell you the story of what happens when you're not ready? What happens when the federal system fails because it wasted your taxpayer dollars? We're going to discuss that because there's a reason why they're not doing it. If your approach to everyday aches and pains is to mask them, you know, feel better for a few hours or only have the pain return and then repeat the cycle all over again, it's time to try Relief Factor. And the good news is that Relief Factor makes that easy. Their three-week quick start is just $19.95, less than a dollar a day. Instead of masking pain, Relief Factor helps eliminate it. It's a unique formula of ingredients that helps support your body's response to inflammation. And Relief Factor was developed by doctors. It's 100% drug-free, and for so many people, the results are game-changing, even life-changing. Chris, my husband, raves about Relief Factor. So whether you're a cyclist, a hiker, you know, an athlete from your college days or high school, maybe you're just active now, Relief Factor supports inflammation reduction and joint health. Try it today. Visit ReliefFactor.com or call 1-800-4-RELIEF. That's 1-800-4-RELIEF. See in how just a few weeks or even days, Relief Factor can reduce your pain. And then you feel better, and then life is just better. So don't mask pain. Fight it naturally with Relief Factor.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So the Tampa International Airport has suspended operations and is closed ahead of Hurricane Milton. They plan to resume services as soon as it's safe to do so later this week, but passengers are told to check airlines regarding flight schedules. I mean, be in charge of your own flight stuff, because there's going to be cancellations galore and all kinds of stuff, so just be prepared. Because there's a category 5. No one wants to be up in the air on that. I was talking to a friend of mine. In fact, she used to work on the program. Her parents just came in from Italy, and they had to rush home, get their animals, and skedaddle. But be safe out there. North Korea is there. Well, they're dealing with a major food crisis. And as a result, they're facing a new wave of threats amid said food crisis. There are thefts, you don't really hear a lot about crime coming out of North Korea, and I think for a reason, because they probably, well, they kill you if you get the wrong haircut. I mean, didn't the dude feed his, like, uncle to dogs or something like that? The short stack down there? Yeah. All right. Well, so they said that the looting is widespread. Now, they have burglars terrorizing the neighborhood, and that they're facing a major hunger strike. Let's see. A plane train causes pandemonium at an Atlanta airport. The plane train. A computer problem with the train that shuttles passengers between concourses at Atlanta. It caused a lot of confusion yesterday. People were trying to get to their gates at the world's busiest airport. But the plane train did return to normal schedule after experiencing a computer issue. That is not an airport you want to have an issue, because it's crazy. They said that there were masses of people at a standstill in the underground concourses, which is my absolute nightmare. So they were getting that all figured out. So good heavens. Let's see here. The Supreme Court. They've started they're back in session, the Supreme Court, and they're hearing ghost gun cases. They're hearing all about that today. Those were some of the first oral arguments before the Supreme Court today. And so we're going to follow along with that as well and bring you any updates to it. And let's see. Keith Olbermann wants Elon Musk deported. What else do we got? We also have Michigan Supreme Court says schools can keep curricula a secret from parents, which I don't think that should be allowed. That's your tax dollars. If my dollars are in there, you bet I'm going to be like waist deep up in your business. That's how that all works. But they said there was a parent seeking school documents, and Michigan parents, they can't request some of the curricula under Public Records Act because the court chose to not to hear an appeal from a lower court. So they're fighting over that. And Sweden is the latest nation across the Atlantic done with open immigration, like allowing people to come in totally unvetted. It's a dramatic U-turn. We got a lot more on the way. Stick with us.
The Dana Show Podcast, your fast, funny, and informative news companion for those always on the move. Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And make sure you sign up over at Substack, Chapter and Verse. Lots of good stuff that comes out on the reg over there. And it's just me, so not gonna be selling your information. So we've been following the latest with Hurricane Milton, historically bad hurricane. I'm looking at the tracking at it as it's barreling towards Florida, potentially catastrophic, Category 5. And Tampa Bay is bracing for the hit. They're looking at storm surges as high as 15 feet. I've heard 20. A lot of flooding inland. People are fleeing. It's going to be hitting about Thursday morning. It's going to be right off the coast Wednesday evening. Thursday morning, it's going to hit. And then it's going to traverse over Florida and then be on the other side around Thursday evening at that point. So it's going to be going right in through Tampa, passing under Orlando. And it's right off the coast. The Yucatan Peninsula right now, and just wild, wild. So everybody stay safe. Everybody stay safe out there. And this, you know, right on the heels of Hurricane Helene. It is hurricane season. This is not abnormal for something like this to happen. It's just unfortunate. I mean, that's the, you know, it's, you got, it, it's the nature of things. And nature can be deadly, as we see. One of the questions that I had, and I was actually talking with a friend of mine about this. It was like a couple of days ago. And I was just kind of looking over our messages. I remember, and you guys remember this too. It doesn't matter what, if it was Hurricane Katrina, if it was Idalia, or if it was Ian, or whatever it was. Aren't there always just tons of media on the ground and they're in waist deep waters, especially near an election season? I mean, think about it. Think about how the media did Katrina and Ian and everything else, right? Think about the way they just try to politicize this with Milton. North Carolina, now, I'm looking at this the way that the left does, because I have a suspicion. This is what I was talking about with my friend. North Carolina is a battleground state. It is. It's a battleground state. North Carolina is... incredibly important to, I guess, you know, Democrats, obviously Democrats and Republicans, they both got to deliver. Both these parties have to deliver. And I'm looking at the absence of coverage, like on the ground in North Carolina. Have you seen, and Kane, maybe I've missed it, but have we like somehow missed like all the reporters standing waist deep in the water in North Carolina and talking about, you know, recovery? Or because they keep saying that there's all this fake news coming out of North Carolina, but it's from the citizens' own videos. Where are the reporters there?
It's a great question, because I haven't seen anything from the mainstream media.
I mean, they're always there, especially if it's if they could get there and try to say, oh, look at the right that's making up these pieces or making up these, you know, all of this stuff about Hurricane, you know, Helene and the recovery efforts and all this fake news. Aren't they so mean, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, I would just think that, you know, I don't know. I'm kind of amazed that there's like an absence of this. And this is what I was talking with my friend about. I mean, you know that there would be if there's fake news, media would be on the ground showing it, right? If the devastation wasn't as bad, they'd be on the ground showing it. If they, like all of this stuff, because they were saying that it was false to allege that FEMA was stopping anyone from delivering anything. They tried to say that the videos that people who have been displaced, that they took with their own phones, are somehow fake news or disinformation. They were arguing that, you know, being broke and not having enough money to help North Carolina, that's a lie, even though that was true. I mean, they keep saying that it's all conspiracy theory. Okay, well, where are they at with their news crews on the ground? My friend had written, well, it's an election year and our reporting might show that stranded locals might be telling the truth and now spreading misinformation. Democracy itself is at stake. Can't take the risk. Sorry about your house, though. For real, though, if they wanted to show that all the misinformation, that everything that was coming out of North Carolina was misinformation, wouldn't they do it? Wouldn't they show it? And then you've got the Democrat governor, Roy Cooper, who's bending into this. Audio soundbite 16. Listen.
And you're also making some people wary of applying for aid and relief, because you have these crazy stories about FEMA coming in and taking people's land and stopping donations from coming in. And it's very frustrating when you're on the ground working hard every day. In fact, I'm going to leave here, go to the Emergency Operations Center, and head back out west again. But I'll tell you what, the people of Western North Carolina are resilient and determined and courageous, and we're going to be with them every step of the way.
Did you see how he did that, though? Well, you know, it's scaring people from getting help. I don't think anybody's been dissuaded from getting help by talking about what accurately is happening there. I mean, they keep saying that the firsthand accounts of what people are experiencing in North Carolina are somehow disinformation. Then prove it. If they wanted to do it, they would be out there with all their camera crews and everything, and they would do it immediately. Now, I do think that there's exaggeration and there's probably some falsehoods for sure. But that's like the exception, not the rule. I mean, I agree that there is a reason why you have not seen all the alphabet news agencies out there like they would be with Katrina or anything else. This is a battleground state. Trump is like, what, 0.6 ahead? They have to be very careful with this, because if you think about it, this could determine the election. North Carolina. I know everyone's talking about Pennsylvania, but look what's happening in North Carolina. Sure, they got a Democrat governor, but they've been leaning red. And then now look at what's happened with the hurricane response. And then now they're being told that the things that they're sharing, that they've seen themselves and filmed with their own phones and have sent and uploaded to the internet, that's like disinformation. You're calling these people liars as they're suffering. That's bad. This is one of those things where you could actually see it affect the election to that degree. And so there's a reason why they're not, I think, showcasing it that way. They're not down there on the ground. Mm-mm-mm. Now, audio soundbite 14, one of the members of the Biden administration is criticizing the people, it's FEMA administrator, criticizing the people criticizing FEMA. This is too rich. Listen.
But I want to make sure that this has to stop, because if it continues, we will see more and more people not trusting their federal government to be able to give them what they need. And so I need people to register for assistance so I can get them the financial resources they need to support their recovery.
Well, it's leading to people criticizing the people who are criticizing FEMA's bad response isn't the way to go. That doesn't make any sense. You should be able to hold these agencies accountable. Absolutely. A few other things, because, you know, obviously we're following this. I want to make sure that we're touching on everything else as well, although mainly it's all election and hurricane today, understandably so. I wanted to pull this up. This was an exclusive piece over at Red State from Jennifer Van Laar, who's been on the show before. 40 U.S. soldiers were stranded in Israel on October 7th, which we just had the observance of yesterday, 1 year. Hamas knew their names, ranks, and locations. What? 40. They were in Israel as an advance team for what was a routine training exercise. And that was last year, October 7th. They suddenly found themselves, obviously, in the middle of a terror attack. And they had to beg reluctant Pentagon officials, Van Laar reports, to send an Air Force plane to extract them. Approximately a quarter of the soldiers were just miles from Gaza in off-base housing near the IDF's base there when the attack began. A group of local Israelis, IDF reservists, police officers, and ordinary citizens got them to the base, which Hamas terrorists were quickly heading towards. And then the team leader, because he saw his men were in mortal danger, requested permission to open the arms locker so they could retrieve their arms. But it was denied at CENTCOM level. CENTCOM denied them. What? Ask again why recruitment is down. You have people who are pushing pencils across the ocean saying, no, you can't defend yourself from a terrorist attack. Oh, and if you try, we'll court-martial you and we'll put you in jail for the rest of your life and your life's over. Ask me again why. Ask anybody why recruitment's down. CENTCOM denied it, according to apparently one whistleblower and a military intelligence analyst. The rest of the soldiers had just arrived in Tel Aviv where rockets were hitting their hotels. They said that there was a lot of stuff going on, all kinds of indirect fire. for a good 6-8 hours. The soldiers who were there at that IDF base were in mortal danger, and the military and civilian leadership at the Pentagon were perfectly willing to not even worry about it, end quote. Hamas had fired a barrage of rockets at the airport shortly after they had one. They had one Air Force C-17 briefly touched down to exfiltrate the soldiers, and Hamas fired about 150 rockets at it. They would have been taken hostage by Hamas if it had not been for Israeli civilians and reservists. They would have been. They were unarmed. Our soldiers unarmed. CENTCOM denied them access to weapons, and they would have been taken. They would have been taken hostage. This would have been worse than Benghazi. And I can't even imagine. Can you? What would have happened? Hamas would have gotten American soldiers. Can you imagine the PR stunt they would have pulled with that? This would have been like dragging people through what, Fallujah? Oh my gosh. They said that it was a harrowing and disturbing story. They're not naming all of the sources because they fear retaliation, which you absolutely do have to worry about that, especially within the military ranks. I mean, there's a reason why they've been going after a lot of the special forces guys. They said that the U.S. Army advance team was in Israel to prepare for the 2-week live fire joint training exercise named Operation Iron Bison. And it was scheduled to kick off the third week in October at the IDF's Urban Warfare Training Center. It was southwest of Beersheba. 400 soldiers, infantry, armor, and aviation. They were deployed to Kuwait in support of Operation Spartan Shield. They were slated to participate. And they said a few weeks before October 7th, they had a group of about 10 U.S. Army logisticians that arrived. They were going to get work. They were staying off base in Beersheba. They said that they had, you know, the advanced team, and it was just training. Like, they weren't there even, you know, they weren't hiding. They were just there for their training. And they said the soldiers had their service weapons with them in Israel, but they had to be secure in an arms locker on base until the time of exercise, used for the exercise and put back. And when everything went sideways, they had requested of CENTCOM, and it was CENTCOM level, said more than two sources. CENTCOM level said no. Do you think that they look back on it now and are like, wow, October 7th, these soldiers would have been taken if it hadn't been for these reservists and citizens? Unbelievable. All of this stuff, it's a year later and we're just now learning this. Isn't that insane?
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Mm-mm-mm. All right. So first up, I'm still trying to get over the guy who was taking shelter from the last hurricane on a rooftop. That seems like a bad thing. Let's see. Ooh, no, don't want that one either. We're going to start with this guy who was arrested for stealing his daughter's truck. Who is this? He looks like a drunk Santa's brother. I don't know. Marion County man's facing felony charge. He stole his own kid's truck. Felony theft. Apparently it was a motel parking lot. And I don't know if this guy's 44. That's the biggest thing. Okay. I need Kane. I don't care about anything else in the story. How in the hell is this guy 44 years old?
It's man, that's a
there harsh, is no way this guy's 44.
Harsh 44.
Let me, for those of you not watching the simulcast, I mean, he looks like legit, like a drunk Santa.
He does.
Oh, man. Anyway, I am completely distracted now. I apologize. I cannot believe this guy's 44 years old. What in the world? So this guy, 44-year-old John Hamilton, he told the deputy that he admitted he took the truck and refused to bring it back. That's pretty much the glory of the story here. Court date hasn't been scheduled. The biggest thing was I needed to show you that mugshot because I cannot even believe that this guy is 44 years old. Also, this... few others. A woman freaks out because her Domino's pizza was cold and uncut.
Oh.
Yeah. But I understand that you might be upset if you get a pizza delivery and it's cold and uncut. And then she decided that she was going to get arrested as a response. So, smoking guns, this 22-year-old Ricky... Just R-I-C-K-Y or R-I-C-K-I is fine. I don't need R-I-C-Q-U-I, okay? She drove from her residence to the restaurant where she started fighting with the employees. She flung the pizza and busted up their phone. Police arrived. She was arrested for misdemeanor criminal mischief. She spent the night in jail. And then she has to stay away from the Domino's pizza, which is only 1.4 miles away from her house. I mean, I'm sure there were probably better ways to resolve that issue. But, you know, if you wanted to go that far into it. But her name is R-I-C-Q-U-I. Ricky. I'm assuming that it's Ricky. Just, you know. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm assuming that that's what it is. Let's see here. Half of these I can't read. And then, of course, this froze. So, this, no, not reading that one. That one's a Diddy headline. I don't even know why a Diddy headline would make it in here, but okay. Oh, we got the guy in the lawnmower. No, this guy wrecked a $200,000 McLaren in Florida during a live stream after texting while driving in the rain. It's a YouTuber. I hate YouTube. I'm sorry. I'm so tired of the stuff, the YouTuber stuff.
Who was it?
Some guy I don't know. I don't want to say his name because I don't want people to think I'm familiar with his content. He just looks, he's like, he was driving around in the rain, texting in the rain while driving a McLaren, and he wrecked it. $200,000 McLaren. $200,000 car that this turd wrecked. I have nothing. How do you, golly, that's why you can't give, how old is this guy? I don't even know how old he is. Sorry, I'm dealing with, everything's freezing. I don't even know who this guy is. What is he? He's 20 years old. Can we stop with internet stars? Wasn't he filming himself? He's filming himself. And texting,
yep.
And he's looking at his phone, and you can see that it's wet and it's stormy outside, and he wrecks it. $200,000 McLaren. Oh, he totaled it. Oh, it's so bad. The whole front end's crunched under the guardrail. I want to beat him to death. So, I don't know. And guess what? It was only for 185,000 people watching. That was the extent of his live stream. Each of them could donate $1, and they still wouldn't be able to cover the cost of the car. Wow. All right, we got more on the way. Third hour coming up. Stick with us. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you, top of this third hour. And we are getting you set up for the rest of the day. And we've been watching Hurricane Milton. We've been watching the fight with that that's been happening at from the vice president. I got to tell you, I'm like, I'm trying to be real cool, but I'm just so done with people defending this stuff. And I keep seeing it. I get it that Democrats are freaking out that the Live, Love, Laugh campaign has hit the skids. But that doesn't mean that the vice president of the United States gets to insert herself into this issue of hurricane response when that's not standard operating procedure. Biden already had a phone call with Florida Governor Ron DeSantis yesterday. And he said two different times, he tweeted about a great phone call, et cetera, et cetera. He said that they're getting what they need. We're here to help. He reiterated it again at a press conference this morning, which I thought was interesting because he did nothing to rehabilitate or to help out Kamala Harris. Kamala Harris embarrassed herself on the tarmac yesterday when she was asked about, she was set up. It was a set up question from the media who asked her about DeSantis and was he ignoring your phone call? And Harris was like, yeah, he's ignoring my phone call and he's not answering me. And DeSantis hit back and said, look, she never even called. She's never called. She didn't call yesterday. She has never called. And he said, I'm not, you know, we don't have time to, you know, be made into a campaign opportunity for her right now. And he's right. He's absolutely right. But it was just petty and ridiculous the way that she dealt with it on the tarmac. And I can't play this enough. Let me play it one more time. Because again, you're president of the United States or you're vice president of the United States. And I get it that you are in the middle of a campaign, but when something like this happens, all the politics and the pettiness and the partisanship should be put to the side. She was asked in a setup because her people had gone out to complain to the media for all day yesterday about DeSantis not taking her call. He talked to Biden, but I guess he's too good to talk to her too. He was supposed to talk to both of them for some reason. And she was mad that he didn't talk to her, even though apparently she didn't call. But anyway, she could have said, you know, the Florida governor is doing everything he can to prepare his state for a historic Category 5 storm, hurricane. You know, they're looking at 20-foot surges. You know, the administration is here for him, whatever he needs to assist. We're here for Floridians. She could have left it at that. And instead, she decided to do one of the most unprofessional and catty, outright bitchy things I've ever seen. And it's this. It's Audio Soundbite 6. Listen.
President, Governor DeSantis, NBC has reporting Governor DeSantis is ignoring your calls on hurricanes, resources, and help. How does that hurt the situation here?
You know, moments of crisis, if nothing else, should really be the moment that anyone who calls themselves a leader says they're going to put politics aside and put the people first. People are in desperate need of support right now, and playing political games at this moment in these crisis situations, these are the height of emergency situations, is just utterly irresponsible, and it is selfish, and it is about political gamesmanship instead of doing the job that you took an oath to do, which is to put the people first.
How is he not putting the people first? Because he talked to Biden and also wouldn't talk to her, even though they say she didn't call. That is, do you see the how she should have responded and then how she did respond? That is embarrassing. That right there proves that she does not have what it takes to be executive in the executive office. That's embarrassing. Good heavens, that's so embarrassing. It was petty and it was unhelpful. And she's mad because she couldn't make it into a campaign stunt. She's like playing political games at this moment. What games is he playing? Nothing. By the way, he audio soundbite two. He said no. This we did not get a call from her. Listen.
I didn't know that she had called, so I'm not sure who they called. They didn't call me, and their characterization of it was something that they did. It wasn't anything that anybody in my office did in terms of saying that it was political. I don't really want to answer questions about it. This is not a time for politics. No, excuse me, Gary. You and your publication will twist anything that's done to try to make a political agenda. That's what you do. That's how you get your clicks. I understand that. I understand that's the business model. Well, but I don't want to talk about politics because, well, but I have a feeling that however you do, you guys will find a way to frame it. That's just your shtick. I get it. It's fine. But I don't want to participate in it. We have had to respond to a Category 4 hurricane. We've had to prepare and now respond to something that may hit. As a major hurricane, maybe Category 4, may even be bigger than that. We hope that it does, but that should be the focus. And I think some of these questions are trying to create some type of political angle where there's just none there.
Yeah, none there. Audio sound before, he said he was asked about it on two separate times on Fox. Well, did you talk to anyone in the administration? And he said he talked to Biden. Listen to this. This is DeSantis responding to that.
And so for Kamala Harris to try to say that my sole focus on the people of Florida is somehow selfish is delusional. She has no role in this. In fact, she's been vice president for 3.5 years. I've dealt with a number of storms under this administration. She has never contributed anything to any of these efforts. And so what I think is selfish
has she ever
is her trying
before?
To blunder into this. No. And here's
has
the
she
thing.
Ever called before?
She has no role. No, she has no role in this process. I'm in contact with the president of the United States. I'm in contact with FEMA director.
She has never called ever before any other hurricane. What makes this one different? Oh, that's right. We have an election in 4 weeks. That's what. And suddenly she needs the attention. That's what it is. Now it looks even more depraved, doesn't it? It looks even more depraved, more ridiculous. And this is right off of her disastrous interview with 60 Minutes. So first off, audio soundbite 26, you need to listen to her super heavily edited word salad answer on Israel. This is unbelievable. Now, I'm going to give Bill Whitaker credit because producers and reporters don't necessarily, a lot of these anchors, unless it's like a Diane Sawyer level or a George Stephanopoulos level, and Whitaker's accomplished, but he's not that level. They only get to exert so much editorial control over the way that interviews are conducted and edited. I will say that. So I just, considering how he handled the interview and the other questions, I don't think that he was involved in the prepping of this for the rest of the American audience. But I want you to listen to this. This is them editing this word salad answer on Israel. It's crazy.
But it seems that Prime Minister Netanyahu is not listening.
Well, Bill, the work that we have done has resulted in a number of movements in that region by Israel that were very much
prompted by or a result of many things, including our advocacy for what needs to happen in the region.
But it seems that Prime Minister Netanyahu is not listening.
We are not going to stop pursuing what is necessary for the United States to be clear about where we stand on the need for this war to end.
That is, do you see the difference there? Yeah, that is, that's one hell of an edit right there. One hell of an edit. And she went on The View. So this is her timeline right now. She does this interview, 60 Minutes. They release some bad stuff. She has this horrible reaction with the hurricane. Then the 60 Minutes interview, more of this stuff comes out. Then she was on The View today. Audio soundbite 28. So The View, I'm just giving you the chronological order of what is the slow circle of the commode of how she's handling the optics of her campaign. This is 28 where they were talking about, I mean, right out, I noticed that this came out right after the word salad edit dropped. Just watch this.
Now, he said this morning, you've never called regarding any of the storms Florida has had since you've been vice president until apparently now and called it political. What's your response to that?
Well, first of all, I have called and talked with, in the course of this crisis, this most recent crisis, Democrat and Republican governors. Called, taken the call, answered the call, had a conversation. So, obviously, this is not an issue that is about partisanship or politics for certain leaders, but maybe is for others.
Wow. It just keeps getting worse and worse and worse and worse. Worse and worse and worse and worse. Oh, man. She won't let it go. You're... What in the world? This is so bad. She's so bad at this. No political acumen. And as Kane knows, she's not even in the chain of command with this stuff. So she's never called, and she hasn't called in it because other people in his administration said it. And by the way, her, and Kane's right, her response here on The View was, this was released right after audio soundbite 31. Can you hit that?
The governor of Florida has been cooperative. He said he's gotten all that he needs. I talked to him again yesterday, and I said, no, you're doing a great job. It's being all being done well. We thank you for it. And I literally gave my personal phone number to call. So I don't know. There was a rough start in some places, but every governor from Florida to North Carolina has been fully cooperative and supportive and acknowledged what this team is doing. And they're doing an incredible job. We got a lot more to do.
I kind of think that Biden and Harris aren't on the same page here. They're not on the same page with this at all. She's trying to make this into a fight. And he's like, no, it's all good. Ooh, yikes, yikes. It's real bad, I'm telling you. So this is not going to work out well for her. And in the meantime, people are just getting prepared. They're just trying to get prepared for Hurricane Milton.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
All right, so a couple of things here. Osama bin Laden's son was banned from reentering France. He looks like a gun control advocate, I gotta say. He just does. I didn't even know he was around. But yeah, he's social. He was glorifying terrorism. So he was banned. Are you surprised? Is anybody surprised the goat doesn't fall far from... Never mind. Let's see. The Gen Z can't cope with life or hold down a job, and they blame lazy Gen X parenting for their failures. I think Gen Z needs its ass beat. Just saying it. Gen X, no, a lot of them are actually from baby boomers, like baby boomers, like the bad ones, not the good ones. But they said that they can't cope with life and it's because they were raised by Gen X. And I just think it's because you have crappy parents and you're probably horrible people and you shouldn't blame an entire generation for it. It's, you know, there you go. Google's new AI is going to turn anything into a podcast. Yay, let's all put razors in our ears. Yeah, that's how books and podcasts. Yay, Google. Someone isolated Perry Farrell's vocals from the night of the Jane's addiction fight, and it's bad. Do we have it or no?
No, we don't have any of the audio.
Oh, okay. Well, it's bad then. You can only imagine.
It's definitely bad.
A hideous 70s interior trend is making a surprise comeback in homes. Oh, boy. I think this is millennials. Wild sage, lemon peach, sorbet, mint, and avocado are becoming popular colors inside of home decor amongst that cohort, younger millennials and Gen Zers. They're taking you back to avocado green. Oh my gosh. They say the retro shades, it looks dingy and nasty is what it looks like. If you're trying to make it a thing, I hope that you have to spend an ungodly amount of money in 10 years just to redo your bathroom, because you deserve it. You deserve the financial penalty.
For people that lived in the 70s, they know that carpet was that color, like toilets were that color.
Everything was that color. Everything was that color. It was horrible. I mean, I only, because I was grew up poor, so I just, we couldn't afford to redo our house. So in the 80s, that's what our house looked like. That's what it looked like. The first house I ever had that I got as a young adult, that's what it looked like. So, yeah, I'm just saying. That is pretty hideous. It is. Fashion designers are embracing a hideous new shoe trend. It's sturdy shoes are making a comeback. First off, I hate kitten heels. Kitten heels are flats from women who can't commit to higher heels because they either can't walk in them or they don't have enough calf muscles. Make a commitment. Make the commitment. Kitten heels are stupid, and when I see them, I want to stomp them off. Just saying. So they said that sturdy shoes are making a comeback. What does that mean? It means platform everything, so everyone can clomp around looking like a Clydesdale. That's what it looks like. You look like a Clydesdale. Women are not supposed to have brick feet. They're not supposed to have giant feet. Where you look like space marines walking around. You're not supposed to have that. Like, you're supposed to have dainty ankles and you're supposed to, you know, look like humans, not like Clydesdales. Just saying. I am reacting horribly to this article that I just came about at a tech website, which is called Under Consumption Core. We're in a broke economic period, and now people are trying to say that it's because of late stage capitalism. And so now we're at Under Consumption Core. And if you ask them to identify it in a proper journalistic context, wherein the lead is immediately put up front in the first graph, well, they can't. They have to later on in the article say, underconsumption core is framed as the antidote to overconsumption. I read articles like this, and it makes me want to be such a maximalist that I want to consume everything. I have such a reaction to this kind of stuff. Like, tiny houses make me want to be a maximalist. All white everything makes me want to vomit color. Oh, I can't stand it. They want you to live in boxes and have shiplap everywhere and be poor and eat bugs. That's what they want. That's the truth of it. Let's just be honest. And a woman was hospitalized after a cauliflower falls on her head in a British store. And the supermarket apparently had an insulting response to her. She apparently had a severe headache, nausea, and dizziness. Sounds like concussion. But she said that she slammed the supermarket. They gave her a 25-pound voucher and some taxi fare. And she said that was insulting. How does a cauliflower fall on your head? Like, what are you doing that a cauliflower falls on your head in the store? Like, stop. Just stop it. All right. So coming up, we got Dean Cain coming up next. And we got more following the latest Hurricane Milton. All of it. Stick with us.
Keep your finger on the pulse with the Dana Show podcast, delivering timely news with insightful analysis whenever you want, straight to you on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you at the bottom of this third hour. You can listen coast to coast. Also, well, if you're not listening terrestrially, you can catch the simulcast. Channel 347, DirecTV, also on Rumble, where the discussion happens. X, we're everywhere. And we've been following this insane, I mean, it's a historic Category 5 storm, Hurricane Milton. We have tons of listeners in Florida. We got a lot of family and friends in Florida. I've been hearing from everybody. We're also following the recovery efforts from Hurricane Helene. So it's a 1-2 punch. And at a time like this, you know, governor of Florida, Ron DeSantis, preparing his state for yet another storm. This one hitting right directly impacting Tampa Bay area. Huge widespread damage is expected. He's preparing for this. He's talking to the president of the United States. And then in the middle of this, you know, standard operating procedure, the vice president decides to insert herself into this. And we played the audio. I've never seen anything like it. She's never been a part of this before, now suddenly wants to be. I wonder why that is. Let's ask our friend Dean Cain about that. I think we've had Dean on the show before. I think he's been on the show before. Everybody, he's Superman. Like, he could literally just, like, fly up into the sky and, like, fly the other way and stop all this. Don't know why he doesn't. But Dean Cain joins us now. His new film, God's Not Dead and God We Trust, is out. We'll talk with him about that here in a little bit. But I got to get his response to this, because I know, Dean, first off, it's good to see you, my friend. I know you're as fired up about this as I am. When has the vice president ever been a part of this process? It's always been the president talks to the governor. They have a discussion. What do you need? I got it. This, that. And then it's done. The vice president never comes along and goes, excuse me, but it's an election and it's Kamala Harris.
That's 100% it. So she completely inserted herself into the situation, and DeSantis just flamed her. I mean, he crushed her. Said it real clear. She's not even in the chain of command. She has nothing to do with it. She's inserting herself into this. I'm talking to the president. President Biden said he's got my cell phone number. What does he need? What, tell me what it is. So she looks not good again.
Did it hit you that they were not on the same page? Like, Biden and Harris did not seem to be on the same page with us?
Well, let's just say, like, when she comes out to do a big, you know, interview or a hit, and he does a live presser in the press room for the first time during his entire presidency, it kind of feels like things aren't coordinated very well, which is really a microcosm of this entire administration anyway, or they're very well coordinated to do destruction to this country. So it's been awful.
Yeah. That's...
But yeah, I don't think Kamala and Biden seem to be meshing together very well.
It's almost like they're not a team anymore. It almost seems like if you wanted to very subtly get revenge on someone for maybe ousting you, that'd be one way that you would do it.
But political people never do that.
No.
That never happens. I can see it happening very easily. I think, you know, President Biden is somebody who can get offended, hold a grudge, and want to strike back. If not him, I could certainly see Jill wanting to do it.
I'm all for that infighting. I'm all for that. We're talking with our good friend Dean Kang. If you're listening and not watching the simulcast, you know, Dean Kang, obviously, is, you know, actor, filmmaker, he's literally Superman. I know you remember the coverage of Hurricane Katrina and Hurricane Ian and Idalia and all of the other hurricanes. And there were always, it's not something that we make fun of, but it's just like one of the things that goes along with hurricane coverage. There's always the guy in waders, waist deep water, like, I'm out here and the winds, you think the guy's going to get blown away. And they're out there covering all this stuff. In some instances, I think, like with CNN and Hurricane Katrina, they really were politicizing it. Let me ask you this. Why have we not seen that with North Carolina?
Because it's an abject disaster for real, and FEMA is not doing any good. You know, without X out there, without Elon Musk out there protecting free speech, we wouldn't hear anything about it. But the fact that every person who has a cell phone can say, look, we're on the ground in North Carolina. FEMA is causing us trouble. When Tim Kennedy says, you know, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to trust Tim Kennedy over a government spokesperson, over a FEMA spokesperson, because this is a man who has demonstrated time and time again his desire to help Americans and to give and to serve. You know, so when he says something like they're just getting in the way, when you see regular people from North Carolina saying they're just getting in the way, they're causing this trouble, the $750 is a loan that you have to pay back or they will take your property. I mean, all of these things are crazy, crazy, crazy. So I just think that the mainstream media, you know, this doesn't look good for the current administration. So they're not going to push it because they want to push Kamala up in this election, and they want to support that. Even though the regular people know, it's like this, it's like we're being gaslit the entire time.
Yeah.
Oh, Kamala's great. It's a new way forward. No, it's not. She just said on The View today, it's not a new way forward. She literally said, I wouldn't change anything in the last 3.5 years. And I was deeply involved in every single decision. It's the same way forward. When we could have, who's been on the ground? Donald Trump's been on the ground. Elon Musk with Starlink. These guys are doing stuff. They're there. We could have a dream team with RFK, with Vivek Ramaswamy. I mean, we have a group here who are real game changers and who are there on the ground in North Carolina doing everything they can. You know, Mark Robinson, the Lieutenant Governor, running for governor, he's out there. You know, these guys are really working for the people, and I think people are seeing it, but the media just won't cover it because they're biased.
So that goes right into it, because North Carolina, battleground state, Trump is up 0.6 in North Carolina. I mean, it's virtually tied. But what you just said is, I think, incredibly important, that people see it and they feel it. David Axelrod had made a comment the other day where he was saying that it's going to be hard to wrangle Trump voters or people who might lean to become Trump voters. Because when you're told by Democrats, Dean, no, the government's here to help, let FEMA do it. And then FEMA shows up a week later and they're not helping. But you see, like, the private public partnerships with some of the state governments, or just like religious groups or non-religious groups or business people coming out and helping. Is that not the ideology in practice? And don't you I mean, 4 weeks away from an election, that I feel like that's going to be weight on people's minds when they go vote.
Oh, I sure hope so. But Axelrod was talking about how difficult it's going to be for some of those people in the rural communities because they have nothing now. How are they going to get to the ballot box? It was like, you know, the more affluent in Asheville, will get there because it's a city center and so on and so forth, and they're going to make themselves heard. I think the people in North Carolina and in that rural part of Western North Carolina, and my son went to college in North Carolina. I love North Carolina. It's amazing. I thought of getting a place there.
Wow.
Good, because it's been a wonderful thing for us, and it's, the weather's fantastic, and it's just a beautiful spot. And I love the state, but they are just getting devastated right now. But I think, you know, it's really clear to the people that it's a joke. I mean, it's ridiculous what's going on there. I want to, even the other Tim Kennedy thing I thought was the greatest, and I have to say it, is he's like, one redneck is greater power than 100 PhDs, because they're out there with an ATV and moving things out and getting things done. I just think it's clear that you have this administration and this group glossing over, saying, we're going to help, we're wonderful, big government, we're giant, we're fantastic, when you really have on the ground people, you know, like people that are, they're not these big NGOs that are making a ton of money off the government, by the way. It's your local church. It's everybody getting together. There was a sheriff on who spoke to Sarah, oh my God, I can't believe Sarah, you're
judging
Sarah Carter. Sarah Carter. I'm sorry, Sarah. Sarah had this sheriff on there, and I'm a deputy sheriff, and he was a local guy, and he was so ticked off. He made it very, very clear where he felt that the government was and what they're doing there, and you know, how just stay out. Basically, just stay out. And he spit on the ground, actually.
That's serious.
He might have had something in his mouth. He had
they're
to clear
spitting.
It out.
That's serious. You mentioned something, talking to our friend Dean Kane, that I've only seen reported like minimally. That's $750. You know, I felt like it's Pawn Stars. Like, oh, best I can do is $750. That you gotta pay it back. Not a lot of people are reporting that. That has to be paid back.
Not only does it have to be paid back, but if you don't pay it back, it's in little print on that FEMA thing. If you don't pay it back, they seize your property over a $750 loan. It's literally government stealing your land for seven. I'm going to buy your acre of land for, you know, $750. Hey, it's a great business if you can get into it.
Why are we not in that business, Kane? Like, I feel like, you know, that's like a great way to make money. Golly.
Because we're not the government, Dana.
I know. We're not the government. And I love, too, what you said. And so all my family's from Southern Missouri. Like, we're, you know, Ozark people. And the redneck power is like a real thing. You never know what some good old boy has got in his shed. They'll come out with a John boat and it'll have like a crane on it. And it might have like, you know, a 50 cal of Mod Deuce on the back. You never know what they got.
Mod Deuce will clean some things up.
They're there to take care of you. All right. I wanted to ask you, because you, I know you were in my town. I saw you actually like ran into you in Texas. It was so good to see you.
That was so random and awesome.
So Dean was in, I got to tell people, I almost sound like a heathen, and I'm like, I don't even want to like, I went in with one of my kids, and we went to go see Beetlejuice. And then Dean Cain's there for God's Not Dead. I'm like, I'm going to go to church and like, you know, ask for forgiveness and going to see Beetlejuice. And he's here like, I'm here for a movie about the Lord. And it was so good to see you. But tell me, this is the new film, because it's a series. And I had a cameo in one, like the second or third one. But it's God's Not Dead, In God We Trust. GodsNotDead.com is the movie. The trailer's all out there. But it's, you know, kind of like telling where we are all at as a nation, like people as a nation now. Tell me about this, because I know you were excited to have taken part. It was good to see you. You guys had good turnout.
Yeah, it was wonderful. And the film has done really, really, really well. So we're very excited about that. I was in the first God's Not Dead. There's five of them, this being the fifth one. And they're all standalone movies. So you don't have to watch one to understand this or that. So this particular film, I reprise my character, who is not a great guy, but it's about politics.
You're kind of a meanie.
Yeah, he's not wonderful. Mark Shelley, he's interested in Mark Shelley. And that's, which is like a lot of power brokers, mm-hmm. They are. They're interested in their bottom line and what they can do for themselves, and they don't care what happens to anybody else. But this film is about a pastor has to jump in and run for a congressional seat because someone dropped out at the last second. They ask him to do it, and then it becomes the question of, you know, where does God fit? Where does faith fit in politics? And everyone says, oh, it's a separation of church and state and blah, 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 blah. Yes, it is, meaning that the government can make no religion that you have to follow or anything of that nature, which is what it was intended for. But to have, you know, your faith is going to inform your voting, your values, your morals, what you do. I happen to be Christian now, but you'll kind of know where I stand on most issues. Would I outlaw X, Y, and Z? Probably not if I were a representative. No, of course not, because I want to you know, voice the voice of my people. I want to represent their voice. So we talk about in this film, you know, where does your faith fit in and how important is it in this election? And even the shirt I have on right now is from that moment where President Trump was almost assassinated in Butler, Pennsylvania. Mm. Now he's come back and made a triumphant return. It's brilliant. But in that moment, you know, when he turned his head and got shot, I argue that God had a hand in that right there. Because imagine where we would be right now, Dana, if he had been assassinated. What would be going on in this world, in this country, in this election? It would change everything. And yeah. And so I'm so glad that it hasn't. And I pray to God that that Trump gets in and brings in this all-star team and changes the direction of this country and the world.
And I know you've touched on, because the movie kind of touches on this, and you've talked about it before as well. And you brought up something that I thought is important, because about, you know, separation of church and state, it was never, you know, the Republic is always it was always on that establishment of the right of man under that of the divine. So it's not, you know, can't be polluted by that of men. And it was always about not the domination of a denomination. But do you think it's weird because Christians go out and vote, but yet when it comes to the amount of participation in voting and then in culture, it's wildly disproportionate. And do you think it's because it does seem like, and I have some I have friends at church that are reluctant to get involved in politics because politics is like the dirty thing. What do you tell those people?
I say, you may not be interested in politics, but I promise you politics is interested in you. And it's the reason I moved from California out here to Nevada, no state income tax, way less regulation, stand your ground, castle doctrine, so many things that I like about here. I feel the Second Amendment is very well protected here. You know, the firearms that I have, and I am a firearm owner.
So you didn't just go into the store and go, I want a Glock. I just want a black Glock. That's all I want.
What do you mean? Which Glock would you like? There's more than one? I mean, no. It's a crazy, crazy thing. I lost my train of thought now.
No, you were talking about you lived in Nevada because, you know, Christians think that politics is kind of Christian, not part. All, but this, some. It's a kind of a dirty thing.
This is a huge part, though, Dana. There are up to 40 million Christians in this country who don't vote. And that's something that you need to get out and vote your values and your morals. You really need to get out there. And Christians getting out there would be phenomenal. Now, we're trying to change the culture by making so many faith-based films, because they say, you know, Andrew Breitbart once famously said that politics are downstream from culture. So if we can create, I do a lot of these films with JC Films, a lot of these faith-based films. Those are smaller ones. God's Not Dead are bigger ones. I love doing those kind of films because I do want to change the culture. I want people to see how your faith can work within politics and within the world to make it a better place. I'm such an optimist, and I'm so
optimistic. I love that. You're a happy warrior.
I'm an absolutely happy warrior. I won't say joyful warrior because
you're not live, laugh, love, Kamala. You're not that. No, you're not. You're not her.
I am not a Marxist. I'm a capitalist through and through, but I am a very charitable person. And, you know, most of the charity that really gets out there comes from faith-based Christians, organizations, yeah. Church groups and things like that. So when you get like the Red Cross not going and visiting the Israeli hostages in Gaza, I have a problem with the size of that organization and them not getting in there and doing that. Yeah. You got to do it under every circumstance. Amnesty International, they don't say a word. I mean, that kind of stuff drives me nuts. So it's your church. It's your church. Yeah. It's my church.
Those are the ones that go out there and get in it. We're short on time now. We got to have you back. Dean Cain, the movie godsnotdead.com. And you can go and find him, Real Dean Cain, on X. Good to see you, my friend. We'll have you back.
Thank you, Dana. Take care.
Subscribe to the Dana Show podcast, because who says you can't make fun of people while staying informed on your own personal time? Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
I just want to know why Corinne Jean-Pierre was dressed like a Gotham gangster yesterday at the Impressive Ale. I asked that. I had one of you respond and was like, this was the first thing I read this morning. It has set my mood all day. Because they open up, because I send out the newsletter like 6 a.m. for our subscribers, and it's the stuff I'm going to be talking about during the day. And it was not photoshopped. And someone was like, I cannot. That was the first thing I opened. And I had to laugh because they're like, until I read the caption, I thought it was fake. She literally dressed like a Gotham gangster yesterday. Like I, you know, was waiting for her to, I don't know, same as it ever was. Just why, girl, why? That jacket is too big for you. Whose jacket did she get? That is not her jacket. Come on. All right, today's stupidity, Kane. I'm taking up all your time.
Were there padded shoulders on that?
I don't know, man. Right. She doesn't have no neck now.
Cut 27-1. This is The View asking Kamala if she'd change anything that's happened over the past 3.5 years. Listen to this.
Well, if anything, would you have done something differently than President Biden during the past 4 years?
There is not a thing that comes to mind in terms of, and I've been a part of.
A new way forward, guys.
Oh.
New way forward.
More. That's all it is. That's her slogan. More. I want a black block. All right. That does it for us today. I don't know. God bless. I'll be back with you tomorrow.